Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic.
Hey, everybody. It's Anissa.
And it's Ellen.
And it's Anissa and Ellen Raw.
So we are, I'm actually a little bit soaked.
I know.
It's pouring rain here.
But you know what? We have not had rain, and yeah. I just planted my garden, so I'm kind of happy, but I don't want the seeds to be gone. I've never done that before, and so I'm going to have my first winter garden. Hopefully, I actually planted shit that'll grow in the winter. I tried to look it up.
It looks so good from the pictures that you posted.
I'm really excited.
It's the day before Halloween.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So I'm just worried. You know, the kids, the kiddos, and no, trick-or-treating.
Yeah. I remember one year it was raining hard and it was really cold, and all of my kids, they were older, and the older ones were old enough to take the younger ones because mama wasn't going out in the rain, right? And I figured they'd only make it a little bit. I think they made like two streets and came home. They're like, can we just eat our candy? Yep. Yep, so, you can.
Yes, you can. So who's with us today?
So excited to have the master back.
So Anissa and I are going to have Melissa Lane, mm-hmm, who did the two podcasts, Hot for Teacher, part one and part two. And if you didn't have the chance to listen to them, you need to, because she talks about menopause, testosterone, some of these fads that are out now. But we're going to have Melissa come in and tape regularly. She's sort of our health
resident,
and fitness.
Yeah,
our resident expert in health and fitness and other things as well. Mm-hmm. So she's back today, and we're super excited that she's here. We had such great feedback from your two episodes.
Yeah, I think probably the most, mm-hmm, those and when we had Marita on were the ones that were the most feedback I've ever gotten on a podcast. Just
excellent.
Lots of just people really got so much value out of it. In a different way than our other podcasts do. So that was really nice.
They actually want you to do more in-depth. They want you to do a podcast in-depth on certain subjects that you touched on in the other two podcasts. So I was like, sure. So I think we're going to do that today, too.
Yep.
So Melissa's going to talk about stress. So how are you?
I'm good.
You look great.
Thank you.
I love your videos on food.
My food.
They're quick. They're easy. They're short. You just tell it like it is, and it's
and they're
I
not
can
weird.
Even, no,
like I absolutely love the fact that you have, you know, Kroger's Simple Truth brand,
yes,
and it's not
on
like
sale.
Right
on sale,
and you're making like regular stuff. It's not like, oh, buy this sweetener that's only grown in this section of the rainforest because, mm-hmm, it doesn't do XYZ in your body. I mean, I look at those things and all I can think is high maintenance, not doing it. More than five ingredients, not doing it.
I agree.
So for me personally, what good is that? All it does is make me feel like I'm inadequate in some way, that I don't feed my body. You don't have to. I mean, for goodness sakes, thank goodness you used rice. People are so afraid of
and
rice
potatoes.
And potatoes these
potatoes.
Days.
Have a potato. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have a potato.
Potatoes, mm-hmm, are good for you.
I really appreciate
yourself out about food.
Yes,
oh,
we both
always.
Are.
It's an always occurrence. Mm-hmm. But I love that because I'm like, that's so simple. I could totally make that.
Mm-hmm. Not something you should be stressing about. Yeah, it's
and
all really
so good.
Good. And if it's complicated, I'm not going to make it. So.
Yeah, me either.
And nor am I going to shoot a video where I wait for people to get online.
Don't you love that? I'm just sitting here waiting.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not waiting.
I know.
Scroll.
I know.
My life goes by too fast to wait for you. So.
Yeah.
No, and they were quick and easy.
Yeah, and
short.
I love that the reason why you're doing it is because you were asked to instead of, I'm an expert. Let me show. Not because you are an expert, but you actually are doing, mm-hmm, it because there's a demand for it.
Right.
And I think that's wonderful.
I'm not an expert in the kitchen. You see by how simple those recipes are that I'm lucky if I can find which burner to turn on.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
It's just got to be short, sweet, and to the point.
It's raw woman cooking for sure.
And so good. Like, I even commented, I can actually, and I'm not a cook. I actually can make this. And I actually like those ingredients. You know, there's a lot of, there are a lot of people out there who want you to eat this and want you to eat that. And I'm like, okay, I would never freeze liver in the freezer and eat it. I just wouldn't.
Raw. No. I mean,
there's some people will. Yep. Absolutely. I just could not do that.
Well, I'm a vegetarian, so definitely I'm not doing that.
Enjoy your food. Yes. Enjoy your food.
Yep.
So talk to us because, well, okay, so I'll tell my story. Anissa witnessed it firsthand on Monday. I had a meltdown at work. I broke down at work crying because I was so stressed out over all the issues I'm going through, the fact that I don't eat very well, the fact that my job is stressful, the fact that, I mean, it was just a whole gamut of things. And Anissa walked down actually to see me. And then my friend, Jay, who I've known for years and years, who's almost like my little brother slash son. I've known him for years. And he was standing in front of my desk asking me a question. And I just had it. Like, I had literally just had it. And so yesterday I took a mental break day. I did not go to work. I stayed at home. I didn't get on my computer. I didn't do any of that. Part of my, well, the biggest reason, I don't get hardly any sleep.
Yeah, neither one of us is sleeping.
And it's not because physically, you know, we've talked about menopause and hot flashes. It's not because of that. I stay up too much. I stress myself over trying to catch up. It's just terrible. And several people walked up to the desk and walked away because I very rarely break down like that at work. Very rarely. And if I do, if I'm having a moment, I'll go somewhere. But I had just had it. Like, just had it. And she, a couple of weeks ago, we went to Vegas. Mm-hmm. I witnessed firsthand Anissa not sleeping because my problem lately is that it takes me a long time to go to sleep. Like, I'll go to sleep at 11:30 or midnight. But I sleep. Then the alarm will get me up. But she...
Yeah, we're
pitiful.
The only people who travel for business and ask to room together.
Together.
So, yeah, we actually do. I could have my own room, but I'm like, no, it's like pajama party.
I know. So she's
with my Ellen.
Yeah.
So we get two beds and
she's
stay
in the next
in the
bed
room.
And yep. She's just.
I do. I
she's
don't
pitiful.
Sleep.
Pitiful. Yeah. And so she, after one, you know, days and days and days of it building up, and then we're working a conference, she came down and just broke down in tears. She was just so stressed out and so tired. And I mean, it's so we wanted you to come on and tell everybody exactly how stress affects your overall health. Maybe give us some tips on what to do about it. I know everybody's different, but it's so funny. I was thinking about it when I did ask you to talk about stress. Everybody has stress and you have stress at work and this and that, but I literally don't know how it affects my
like
body.
What, I want to know, I mean, you can read, oh, stress, you know, is a risk for heart disease, risk for that, risk for that. But like, what I love is you make the complex, what actually metabolically is happening in the body, and you break it down in a way for us that we go, oh, I totally get it. And I can put some things into practice because I know the why and the
how. That's what you did last time. Okay. I know that not sleeping is going to affect me. Okay, but how exactly is this going to affect me? What can I do? Break it down to me so I can understand it, and then I'll have buy-in to it.
Okay, got it.
All right,
so stress comes in two forms, basically. You have eustress, like E-U stress, one word, and distress. Eustress is good stress, like you start a new job and you're really excited, but it's still stress. But maybe you got a new position, so you're moving up, so you're making more money. So that's eustress. And then distress, of course, is I had a car wreck or I have a terminally ill parent or something else that is negative stress. Both of those affect your body in the same way. Whenever you get stressed, whether it's good or bad stress, your body ramps out epinephrine, which is a hormone, and most people call it adrenaline. So we'll just make it simple and we'll call it adrenaline from right now. So adrenaline comes out, and the purpose of adrenaline is to take the glucose that is stored in your liver as glycogen and make it readily available in your bloodstream. So let's take something that stresses you out. So let's say you're driving down Georgia 400 and somebody pulls over in front of you and you almost hit them. So you got to do a quick maneuver to get out of the way. Epinephrine or adrenaline comes out of your adrenals and into your bloodstream, goes to your liver and says, hey, we've got a fight or flight situation here. Mm-hmm. We're either going to have to turn that wheel, brace for a crash, or hit the gas pedal or go. Same thing if you saw a bear in the woods. Mm-hmm. Are we going to fight the bear? Or are we going to run from the bear? So your liver glycogen, which is the storage form of sugar, breaks down into glucose, floods your bloodstream so that you have the energy to fight the bear or whatever you have to do in the car. Got two situations going on here. And ideally, we should be able to say the crisis is over, clear the bloodstream. So if we are fighting the bear or running from the bear, we're going to use that glucose. And when we're exhausted and the stressful moment is over, our body should return to homeostasis. So ideally, you want your stress periods to go up and down like a roller coaster, like interval training. What has happened, especially as we get to be this age, because think what happens when we're in our late 40s, our early 50s. Our kids are getting older, so we're wondering what they're doing when they're not with us. Maybe we're thinking about retirement. Are we going to have enough funds? That stresses us out. Our parents are getting older, so now we actually become the caretaker for our parents. That is stressing us out. We're losing a lot of friends. We're losing a lot of people at this age, so we get stressed. So if it is chronic stress, which stays with us like that, we have to find a way to clear the glucose out of the bloodstream that we're not using to fight or flight. Mm-hmm. So one of the best things, you know what I'm going to say, is to go exercise, because then you can use the glucose that is in your bloodstream. But people that sit and fester with stress and don't go do something active to use that glucose are now going to have levels that are steady state high. So now you have your body bracing for a fight or flight instance that never comes. So that glucose stays in your bloodstream. Well, that glucose is sugar, and that sugar is an exfoliant, and that sugar ruins the walls of your arteries. So the more that glucose stays in your bloodstream, the more likely it is to build up with other white blood cells. Mm-hmm. It rubs places raw on your arteries because sugar is an exfoliant. It's rough in your cells. It also increases your blood pressure because it's a solute. It's in your bloodstream. And whenever you add glucose or salt or anything to your bloodstream pulls in water. So your blood pressure goes up even higher. Mm-hmm. So there you've got your heart disease. Your chance of having a stroke goes up higher because plaque may form from the white blood cells and the glucose. So we all know that those things happen. So the best thing you can do is find an outlet to lower the glucose that is floating in your bloodstream. That's the most simplest breakdown I can give you. Cortisol is your hormone that also comes out. And cortisol should also look like a roller coaster. When cortisol levels are high and stay high, it is actually anabolic. It makes you hold on to fat, because your body thinks you're in times of stress. So think what happened back in the caveman days when we didn't have food and we were in times of stress. The cortisol came out and said, protect your body, pull in the fat, particularly around the belly area. We all know that belly fat is more dangerous to your heart than fat on your butt or your boob or anywhere like that. And so we want cortisol levels to roller coaster. And when cortisol levels roller coaster, they actually become catabolic. They actually break that glucose down. So when we roller coaster, it's good for you, and you're actually going to see yourself lose some weight. When we steady state with cortisol levels, it's actually anabolic, and you're going to see yourself hold on to body fat because your body is protecting itself.
So my cortisol levels are like that.
Our steady state.
Our steady state. So I even the graph, when Michelle did my cortisol test, I did the whole saliva thing. So it literally goes up, 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 up. And then when it drops down, it drops very short period of time. And then it starts again. So it doesn't go like this. It just goes boom. Yeah. So there I have. Yeah. So she gave me this whole protocol on it. I know we say this all the time, but listening to you explain to us about how stress affects your body and then thinking about what my current situation is, it's on the money. Like I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh. Yep.
And even the times when I've been very stressed, you know, my areas of holding fat in my body are not my belly. I have other areas. We all have our areas, right? But in the times when I was super stressed about money, especially when I was commission only and things like that, I was constantly going, what the hell is this? I'm not even eating all day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so stressed at work. I'm trying to do X, Y, Z. I maybe eat an apple, come home, have some, maybe a baked potato. Why on earth am I so bloated? Right. You know, and I'll tell you what is so interesting that you said it helps you lose weight. As soon as I got out of that situation and started to do other things and I could feel myself calm, it went away.
Yeah.
Like almost felt like overnight it went away.
You have to learn. There's actually a really good TED Talk, and I should have looked up who this woman is, but she's a medical doctor. She's a general practitioner. And she starts her TED Talk by saying, I'm here to tell all my patients I've made a mistake. I've been telling them the wrong thing. I used to tell my patients I didn't want them to stress at all. And, you know, she says, well, jokingly, how realistic is that? We have to learn how to handle the stress that we have so we get the roller coaster so that it becomes a catabolic situation as opposed to staying stressed where it becomes anabolic. So she says, if we don't learn how to deal with it and it happens, that's when it's going to kill us. So we have to learn to go with the roller coaster and not just stay flat line on the bottom, right, but not stay steady state up. So
what's so interesting too is, the podcast that you and I did, the last one, just the two of us, and where I had the meltdown and cried on air for like the whole time, I think. I'm at this point where I'm just like, you know, fuck it. Like, but that's not what I want to do and it's not what I should do. So I've been super active for so long, like, I can't even remember how long, years and years and years. I've been a fitness instructor for over 20 years. And then all of this stuff with my hormones came about. And so now I'm finding myself that I'm in this position where I'm not as active as I was. I tend to not, Anissa can tell you, I tend to not eat versus eating stuff that's bad for me because of what you said. Oh my gosh, I eat an apple and why am I so bloated and why is everything much tighter than it was before I ate this apple? I've put myself in this stressful rut. And now the way that you've explained it, it makes perfect sense. Like I was so active, at least getting up, you know, that whole cliche, well, just get up and do 30 minutes of something, go to the gym and do something, get yourself in that routine of doing something. Okay. So I've been off that routine probably 3 months. So I'm very sporadic. I teach my classes, but going in and working out for myself, I'm very sporadic. But if I had just kept on pace, just doing that 30 minutes or doing whatever it is that I need to do to get yourself active, I probably wouldn't be in the spot that I am now in terms of stress. Because when I was very active, teaching classes years and years, no matter what happened at work, no matter what happened, I handled it so much better. And it wasn't that nothing happened. It would, but I was roller coastering. Now it's steady state. And I think I'm piling it onto myself. But now that I hear
that that's how you get the glucose out of your blood. I mean,
exactly what's going on. I can see it in my brain. Like, I can understand it a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Oh, yeah. Makes total sense.
So, what can we do to de-stress? Some simple things.
Okay, well, obviously, exercise. And again,
right.
That doesn't mean you have to go out and kill yourself.
Because doesn't that create, I mean, if you're doing, let's say people hear this and go, oh, I'm going to go do high intensity interval training.
Right.
4 days a week, 5 days a week, back to back to back. That would create more of the cortisol, correct?
Right. Okay. So we talked about last time that you don't want to HIIT train more than 2 to 3 right. times a week.
Right.
So you can still do your HIIT training, but if you do that every night, the cortisol levels are going to stay up and they're never going to drop. And then you enter into overtraining.
Right.
Well, here's one. There's something out there called heart rate variability. And it's one of the best signs of whether people are overtraining. And it can also be used with stress. So heart rate variability means, let's say you're sitting at your cubicle at work and you're really engrossed in what you're doing and you're kind of not paying attention to anything around you. And a coworker jumps behind you and boo and scares you. Ideally, your heart rate variability should shoot up and then go, oh, it was just you, and come back down. So people who are stressed because of what is going on with their epinephrine are going to have very low heart rate variability. They might react, but you're not going to see their heart rate shoot up. It might just climb a little bit. And that's your number one determinant of, are you overtraining and your cortisol levels are too high, or are you overstressed and your cortisol levels are too high. So stick with your HIIT training 2 to 3 times per week. But then think, what do you really like to do? Do you want to go in and just ride a bike and read a book? Or do you want to put your favorite music on and go for a long, slow run? That's what I do. Everybody says, how far do you run? Until I can't run anymore.
Right.
How fast do you run? Not very. A lot of times it's called a shuffle because that's not why I'm out there.
Right.
The main thing for me is it's my music. It's my 80s playlist and it's bringing back memories of the good times. So whatever kind of exercise it is, even if it's walking the dog, that's always going to help. And then I think with women, one of the best things they can do is journal, but not to the point that you force yourself to journal every night, because then it becomes a stressful situation. So there's something that's really popular now. I'm not going to get off on a tangent, but it's called intuitive eating.
Right.
And I think people should do intuitive journaling. I think I just created something new.
I love that.
If you go to bed and you think, I'm not going to be able to stress because I'm thinking what was left in my inbox, who came up to me and I might not have treated them right today at work. If you just intuitively journal what is bothering you and when you're done, put it down. And if you sit down tomorrow night and nothing's bothering you, don't feel like you have to open your journal, because then it becomes something else to add to your to-do list, which is going to stress you out. And I know you and I, Ellen, have talked about the thing about learning how to say to people no, and that we're going to talk about that later on in the future. But I think that in itself stresses us out. We don't believe we should say no, being women and being caretakers. We don't know how to say no. And we think if there's a spare moment in our day, we should be filling it up. But just because there's a spare moment in our day, that doesn't mean there's room for something else, because we still have to make that moment our moment.
Right.
Like you and I went back and forth about some dates.
Mm-hmm.
Being the introvert that I am, even though I have time to go out every night and do whatever, if I don't pace myself by Friday night, if I've had 3 nights out, even if one of them's coming down here and one of them's going on a date and one of them might be staying at work late, I'm still going to be stressed out because that's too much for me.
Right.
So it is very individualized, but I think journaling really helps, and also doing something you enjoy, cooking, you know, whatever,
gardening,
reading.
Whatever,
I enjoy
knitting.
Mm-hmm. So
I love reading.
I do too.
So what about, you know, they talk about all of the different types of breathing that you can do to help access your parasympathetic nervous system. What kind of effect does that have? Because I was thinking, gosh, if I'm at work or whatever and I feel, especially when I haven't slept, like yesterday, I had had 2 or 3 nights of very little sleep. So yesterday was a really rough day for me. I was feeling, you know, the depression and the hot flashes would come and I'm so tired, where I feel like I'm going to cry for no reason just because I'm so tired. But during the day, I could find time to take those kinds of breaths. Do those help?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's define parasympathetic because probably a lot of people don't know what that means.
Perfect.
But your autonomic nervous system basically has 2 channels. And so, of course, your autonomic nervous system is anything that happens automatically. You really can't control it. So you have your sympathetic nervous system, which is known as fight or flight. So it amps everything up. And then parasympathetic, and that's when your epinephrine comes out in greatest amounts. And then your parasympathetic is known as your rest and digest system. And that is when norepinephrine comes out in greater amounts. Those two play together all the time. But when you are sympathetic and fight or flight, epinephrine comes out in greater amounts. Norepinephrine comes out in smaller amounts. It flips when you're in parasympathetic, rest or digest. Norepinephrine comes out in greater amounts. Epinephrine comes out in less. So your parasympathetic is what brings you back to normal. Like when somebody pulls over in front of you on Georgia 400 and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I probably shouldn't be driving right now. I'm going to get off on a side street, stop and breathe. That's when your body pulls out the norepinephrine. And your norepinephrine makes you burn a greater amount of fat than carbs. So if norepinephrine is higher, fat is a greater energy source.
Okay.
If epinephrine is higher, it's carbs. Because think, epinephrine is fight or flight.
Right.
You better have that quick sugar.
Right.
Because you got to burn that quick sugar in a hurry. Fat takes longer. So parasympathetic, when you breathe or do yoga or stretch or Pilates or anything, is going to bring the norepinephrine out and stimulate your fat as an energy source and bring you back to rest or digest. So let's go back to HIIT training. People don't realize how important it is to do their parasympathetic training, their yoga, their Pilates, barefoot training.
What about even like swimming, like breaststroke?
Yes, where you put your head under the water and you're not looking at anything and you're just going and long, slow. Meditation, however you meditate, whether you meditate in a class, foam rolling is parasympathetic. Those foam rolling classes should be packed. Mm-hmm. So
I need to just hire her to help me. So this past year, every nutritionist, PT, doctor, everybody said, what did they say? Ellen, you need to do some more yoga. You need to get in yoga. You need to do some breathing exercises. You need to start meditating if you can. Okay, so it's one thing to tell me you need to do yoga, you need to do meditation. I totally get that. In my brain, I'm like, okay, that de-stresses me. I get that. It's, you know, everybody should do more of that. It's good for me to do something that's a little bit, not as intensive, something that's but I never bought into it because I didn't know exactly why I should do that. Now I know why. So now I'm sitting here going, yoga. I could have been doing this like for months and then here I am. I'm just like shooting myself in the foot. But it makes perfect sense why they're telling me that and why it will help me. But I didn't know exactly what my body did during those times or during those exercises or those whatever, and now it makes perfect sense.
And it's so funny that you talked about Pilates, because when I was a PT, you know, part of that whole onboarding process, we had to try some of the different things. So that was the first time that I got on a reformer and I tried, and I immediately fell in love. But what was so interesting is every time I got done with a Pilates session and I walked out of that studio, I was like on cloud 15. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that the reason why is because I was so deep in my parasympathetic mm-hmm. nervous system. I just thought, what the fuck is this? I'm getting certified in this stuff because mm-hmm. I had never, but I didn't know. No one ever said to me, well, because you just trained in your parasympathetic nervous system. And so all of that deliciousness. And not that it's not hard, holy booger, yeah, it is so challenging, but in a very different way.
Right. Definitely.
And it's, I mean, it's still one of my favorite ways to move because when I'm done, I just feel dreamy.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the biggest missing pieces in our overall wellness is people understand, yes, exercise, but let's go kill ourselves. Let's work out as hard as we can. But on the day you work hard, sympathetically, you have to balance it with parasympathetic. Mm-hmm. And people that understand the science are bringing it to the clubs. But now we have to get the people in the clubs to buy into the fact that they shouldn't be doing total body HIIT training on Monday and then total body strength training on Tuesday and then kickboxing on Wednesday and step on Thursday. At some point, they have to go parasympathetic or the cortisol levels are never going to drop.
Yeah, and you see people, sense. I mean, I see people in class who quite frankly are doing, once they reach a certain age, the young folks can do it. And even if it's not good for them, I don't see the changes in their body, but older people who are doing that all the time, all of a sudden I'm like, they've mm-hmm. put on 15 pounds mm-hmm. and there's just, you can see that.
That's me.
You can see the anguish on their face, but then you try to talk to them about, you know, without coming up to them because nobody wants to be pointed out, to talk to them about, you know, there's also a yoga class at 5:30 in the morning. Maybe you want to skip a day, even if it's my class, skip my class. Take a day and don't get out of bed.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Just sleep.
Yeah. I want to know a little bit about the fact that neither one of us are sleeping for, you know, different reasons and what role that's playing in our cortisol levels or just, I think we talked a little bit about this last time, but, how that is affecting those balances during the day.
Right. So obviously sleep is your recovery time. It's your recharge. It's your time to bring everything back into homeostasis. Mm-hmm. So think about what you do all day long to stress your body. We eat, and that stresses our bodies, which is why intermittent fasting is becoming so popular. We drink things that are not good for us, mm-hmm. especially if we're not sleeping. So we put caffeine into our body, which ups our heart rate. And so, again, that's a chemical in our body that our body is not used to. So that stresses us. So when we sleep, it's obviously our rest and recover and our cortisol levels drop. And then when we get up in the morning, the cortisol levels actually start to rise as soon as we hear the alarm clock go off, mm-hmm. as soon as we think about what's in our email box, what do we have to do? Do we have to say, I'm sorry, you know, mm-hmm. not treating the other person right yesterday. So your cortisol levels actually go up first thing in the morning. So you spend all day with high cortisol levels, and then hopefully there's your roller coaster up. Now you need to sleep at night and drop them. But if you're not sleeping at night, you're not getting your roller coaster. So you're staying high on cortisol all night long.
So when we went to Vegas, I listened, and I can't remember the podcast, but I listened to this some motivational speaker, and he was talking about de-stressing. He does these little 5-minute, 8-minute, 10 minutes. So he said, when you first wake up in the morning, don't look at your phone. Don't turn the TV on. Go do, if you like to have a cup of coffee, go get your cup of coffee and then just sit and just sort of think about your day, you know, what you're going to do. Meditate if that's what you like to do. Journal if that's what you like to do. Because you need to, you automatically become reactive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at your phone and somebody's emailed you or you turn on the news. And he said, you're going to be reactive all the rest of the day. So to get up at 5:00 in the morning and immediately, you know, look at your phone, give yourself time to sort of prep your brain and your body for all of the ensuing hours that you're going to be reacting to people, emails, telephone, traffic,
children,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Right. And you hear, if you're not sleeping, you're messing up your REM cycles. Well, think about what we know about deep sleep. It's when you dream and you dream about things that are bothering you.
Right.
So you actually solve your problems and lay down memories in your deep sleep. And so that's also when you lower your cortisol, which is one of the reasons that your body actually puts you in a state of paralysis while you're in REM. So that if you are solving a problem with a coworker while you're in REM, you can't reach out and punch your partner in the face while you're dreaming about
right.
it. So, but being stationary or in a state of sleep paralysis during your REM lowers your cortisol levels even further.
So if I am tossing and turning all night long,
you're not getting
I'm not
REM.
In REM.
So let me ask you, and this may be a combined. So what about people who say, well, I don't sleep very much. I get 3 hours of sleep a night and that's what's good for me. I mean, I've been like that all my life. And then you get those people who say, which is a totally different subject, but, who say I can't de-stress because my life as it is, you know, say for example, their parents are living with them at home and they're aging and they're having, so they're saying there is no, you know, maybe they have a child who has some handicaps, or maybe they have too many children or whatever, who say that's unrealistic. There is no time in my day where I've got to feed all the kids. I've got to take, you know. So what about those people who...
The person who sleeps very little, it may be a genetic thing. There's always an outlier.
Right.
So the sleep thing, I think, is genetic. There's an outlier. They're probably learning how to work on that little amount of sleep. The people that live in a stress situation 24/7 mm-hmm. are going to end up sick because of it. Their longevity is going to be threatened. Think about the reality shows that you watch.
Right.
Like when you said, when you get up in the morning, I turn the TV on, but I turn it to TLC and I watch the show about the woman who has the six daughters and mm-hmm. five of them are, would that be quintuplets?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I laugh at that. That's how I start my day while I cook breakfast and everything. And she specifically says, I have to do something for myself.
Right.
I have to get out of the house. They bought a cycle studio. I want to work there. Because they have to do something for themselves.
Right.
If not, they're going to explode one way or the other.
And I just have people that come up to me and say that, you know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to give myself time. But I literally cannot. And I say the same thing. I say, if you continue to run yourself like this, thankfully, yes, I have high stress level. Yes, my cortisol. But I do find moments where I do, and I'm now, after this, I'm very cognizant. I'm very aware of it. I'm very aware of everything. You know, it's not that I didn't want to do yoga and meditate. I literally procrastinate. Oh, I know it's good for me. I tell people they need to do it. I will get to it tomorrow. That's what I do. It's not that I'm like, oh, well, I don't believe that. What's that going to do for me? Not at all. I just put it off. So now I'm going to make a concentrated effort, knowing what it literally does to my body, to make sure that I make it a priority. And, you know, I don't know if you all thought this, but, you know, growing up, from my 20s to now, I used to just think, you know, it's a good balance. You need to stretch. You need to, you know, decompress. That's why yoga is so important. But it's much more than that, I think. And, you know, and I also used to think, oh, well, you know, yoga's for people in their 50s and their 60s, you know, when they can't do the HIIT anymore. That's better for them. And that's not at all.
It's
should be a combination. You know, Miguel at the gym, he does 1 hour of foam rolling, if I get this right, 1 hour of foam rolling for every high intensity, heavy lifting thing. I mean, he preaches it, which is, you know, absolutely correct. So,
you have to remember, you also have somebody to talk to. Venting your feelings is going to decompress you. So even if people say, you know, I have a handicapped, challenged child and I just can't get away, I bet you have another caregiver in the family with you, somebody that you can talk to and say, hey, today was really rough. And that in itself helps.
And groups.
Tremendously. There's huge studies on that, that one of the things that is heightened right now in our society with people deciding that likes and friends on Facebook is really a community, and it's not.
Right.
That people are so isolated these days, and that is such a huge risk factor for all of these diseases because they're not connecting, and we're meant to be a species that supports each other.
And I think that holds true for some folks. I think that work at home or work from home
are isolated.
I mean, you know, everybody says, oh, I wish I could work from home because this, that, and the other. Excuse me, but I have friends that work from home and are, that didn't used to and now work from home, and I see a change in them. It's different than, it's different to, you know, email somebody constantly during the day versus literally physically interacting with somebody.
I mean, today with Ellen, I'm texting her, can I come down and see you?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we connect. We connect.
Yeah.
We're at an hour.
I mean, so I know, it's so interesting. I knew this would happen. I knew that when Melissa came in here, I would get that whole buy-in.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, for example, you know, Michelle at the gym, she's very good about explaining certain things, but then, you know, that you've got your, you have your doctor who she just tells you what is off and what's missing and whatever. But, you know, in the course of a conversation doesn't break
it
down.
She only has 10 minutes.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I love this. Because there's there's so many subjects. Melissa just needs to come in every year.
We do. We're just going to be like the 12.
Going to check off our list.
Yep. This one was definitely
needed.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yep.
Especially for both of us. So, oh.
You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. You can visit atlpn.com, atlantapodcastnetwork.com. And on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and on Spotify. And Brian, you got some news for us?
Not yet. We're waiting for Pandora.
We're waiting for Pandora.
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show. We're on Instagram.
Anissa Amundsen.
And ATLPodcastNetwork.com. I'm going to get the TED Talk.
Yes.
From Melissa, and then I'll post it in the show notes. The TED
You're
Talk.
Not on Instagram, are you?
No.
Girl.
Too much social media
it's
is
so,
bad
I know,
for you.
I agree.
I totally want to say it. I may have to say it. The Instagram is so much better than the Facebook.
Well, it's just quick and
it's different.
But I'll tell you what.
But I love my Facebook groups. But I love Instagram.
I think Instagram is the devil. I do.
I like it.
It's, you get, it, it's, you get, I,
I don't know. I don't
3
do
hours
very
later,
much.
Oh, and
see,
I'm like,
I never
oh my
get
gosh.
Like that. I just,
and I'm like,
for
looking,
like 10 minutes. But
I can't stand. I've got to figure something else about.
Thank
Instagram.
You. Thank you. Thank
yes.
you for our talk on stress. I am so de-stressed.
I am right now. Me. Yes.
I'm not you stress. I am you stress.
You're not stressed.
Mm-mm. That's right. There we go.
Yeah. All right, ladies.
Thank you.